All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or for those of you who are listening online, my name is Chris High, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And today's kind of an exciting day for us because we're kicking off this new series called Life Apps. And for the last couple months here, we've been working through some really foundational elements of who God is and what it means to follow God and what that looks like, who we are in relationship in relation to Him, and how we begin to establish this relationship that we can have with Him. And I'm really excited because as we move into the next 6 weeks, we're going to be building on that. We're going to be building on that with some really simple, practical things that you can put into your life. We're calling them life apps. They're applications of things that we see over and over and over again in God's Word that He's directing and guiding us to. Things that you can put into practice and begin to experience your life changing almost immediately. And so I'm excited as we walk through this. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about. But today I kind of want to lay a foundation for that. And there are a few things that I need to say before we get into it in order for you to be able to really understand what we're talking about and also for you to be able to get the most out of this conversation that we're about to have. Because there are a few disclaimers. For one, if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, and one of the things I love about Hoboken Grace is that every week there's a large number of people who are here who would say, you know what, I'm not yet committed to following Him. I'm still seeking. I'm still trying to figure out what this is all about. And so right from the beginning, I want to be really clear with you that what we're about to talk about does not have to do with how you find your way back to God. This, what we're about to talk about for the next few weeks does not pertain to how you in some way build a relationship with God. And the reason that I say that is this. One of the things that can be really easy when we begin to talk about these simple practical things, one of the things that can be really easy to fall into is that you would begin to believe that if I do these things, if I check off A, B, C, D, and E, that then God will be happy with me. That's not true. And the things that we're going to talk about are going to be great for your life, and your life will be better because of them, but this is not the point. The point is not that you would somehow be able to get your life to the place where you're executing these things. The point for you is that you would begin to form a relationship with Jesus Christ. And your ability to be able to stand before God and the relationship that you'll have with God is not based on whether or not you do the things we're talking about for the next few weeks. It's based on whether or not you believe that Jesus Christ is who He says that He was and that He did what He says that He's done. And I want to be really clear about that up front because I realize as we talk through this that it can be really easy for us to fall back into legalism, into what I would call religion, this idea that if I want to get to God, then I need to do A, B, C, and D. That's not true. What we're going to talk about is actually what happens in our life after we begin to follow Jesus Christ, after we've been adopted as God's son or as His daughter. And that adoption is not based upon our works, it's based upon our faith. It's based upon whether or not we believe God. And so it's important for you to understand that. And then for those of you who are following Jesus Christ, who have begun this journey of saying, okay, I want to follow Him. I accept what He's done for me. You have been adopted as the children of God. And I want you to understand that what we're about to walk through is several different weeks of God as your Father lovingly guiding and directing you towards the life that He has in store for you. And one of the things that can be really confusing as you're a part of Hoboken Grace is this idea of rules. And we say over and over and over again, and you'll hear us say over and over and over again, this is not about rules, it's about relationship. And the thing that becomes confusing in that is you hear us say that, and then you pick up God's Word, and as you begin to read through God's Word, you see just page after page after page of instructions on how to live. And so as people are a part of Hoboken Grace, oftentimes they'll come to me a couple months in and say, wait a second, I hear you saying it's not about rules, it's about relationship, but when I pick up God's Word, I see all these instructions and do this and don't do this and go this way and don't go this way and make this decision and don't make this decision. So how does this work? Well, for those of us who are parents, we understand a little bit more the fact that that makes perfect sense. Because when you understand that God has adopted you as his son or as his daughter, as a parent, you realize that if you're going to have that role in someone else's life, then instruction is absolutely necessary. And then if you're going to be a loving parent, if God is going to be a loving father, then in our lives over and over and over again, he is going to step in and begin to instruct us on which way to be able to go, which decisions are good and which decisions are bad. And that's what you see him doing, and that's what we're going to be walking through for the next few weeks. These aren't things that establish your relationship with your father. These are the result of the relationship that you have with your father. And this is what your father is bringing into your life in order to make sure that you experience life, as Jesus Christ says, to the fullest. He says, I didn't just come that you would have life, that you'd have eternal life. I came so that you would have life to the fullest. And so as your father, over and over again, he's stepping into your life and saying, listen, as you're making this decision, go this way. Don't go that way. It's a natural part of being a father. For example, my son right now is 2 years old. His name's Caden, and it's been so hot recently. And so yesterday we decided that we were going to go to this pool. And we found this pool. Someone had suggested it to us. We went and checked it out yesterday. I mean, it's an incredible pool in our area. I would tell you where it is, but then it'd get crowded. So it's in Secaucus. And if you haven't been there, you got to check it out. Incredible pool center. There's like 4 different pools there, all outdoors. It's just beautiful. And we had a great time. And one of the things that I've done since Caden is very, very young is that I want Caden to be comfortable in the water. And so one of the things that they tell you when kids are growing up is that if you want them to be comfortable in the water, you have to get them used to going underwater from a very early age. And people who are teaching kids how to be able to swim will tell you, okay, from the very beginning when they're born, you need to get them used to going underwater because babies naturally understand how to be able to hold their breath when they go underwater. But if they don't practice it, then they'll lose that natural instinct. And so you can imagine Anna's great joy when I told her that I was going to dunk our 1-month-old son underwater. But we've been doing this, and so Caden loves it. And we've gotten to the point now where he's super comfortable being underwater. And so yesterday we're practicing like swimming underneath the ropes and these things and holding his breath for a little bit longer. But the problem is he likes it a little bit too much. And so when we're at the pool, he wants to be underwater all the time. But he hasn't really learned yet that you need to come back up. So he just is constantly trying to put his face under the water. I'm like, listen, there's a time to do this, not all the time. And I'm instructing him. And that's what your father is doing for you all the time. And that's what it means to be a loving father. None of us would look at a father who just lets their children do whatever and go wherever without saying a word and say, man, that's a loving dad. None of us would do that. And so it makes perfect sense that as we've been brought into this family and as God has adopted you as his son or as his daughter, that he is constantly stepping into your life and saying, listen, there's a way that leads to life and there's a way that leads to death. Let me guide you towards this life that I want for you. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how he's guiding us in very specific and really, really important things that he's guiding us into as his children. But if you're going to get the most out of this series, there's something that you need to understand from the very beginning. And you see it on the video when the video is playing up here. It's this line, application is everything. And if you get nothing out of this series besides this, you have to understand that as we're talking through these things, as we're looking at what God's word says, application is everything. And so today, as we start this series, I want to kind of give you this foundation and kind of set us on a course so that as we walk through the next 5 weeks, we won't miss what God has in store for us, that you won't miss where God wants to take you with these applications. The passage that I want us to dive into today is found in the book of James. And James is Jesus' brother. And for James and Jesus, this idea of application was crucial. We're going to talk about where Jesus mentions this later on. But I first want to take us to where James is mentioning this. And James is writing to the early church. And the church is beginning to form. And as the church is forming and James is observing the church, he realizes that there's something happening that needs to be addressed. And so from the very beginning of the book of James, he starts to address this issue that he sees taking place in the church. I'm going to start off in James chapter 1, verse 22. And James says it this way. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." You say, wait a second, what is he talking about, deceiving yourself? Well, one of the things that James had begun to realize that was happening inside of this early church as it was forming is that more and more people were beginning to be a part of this community. More and more people were beginning to come together at large group meetings like this, and then also in home meetings, and they were hearing what God had to say, but nothing was changing. And they were hearing what God was instructing them in, and they had been adopted as sons and daughters of God, and they were listening, but their lives were exactly the same as they used to be. And so James says, listen, I need to talk to you about something. Don't just be hearers of the word and deceive yourself. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that knowledge is the point. And I think all of us have been here. And it's this place where you walk in here on Sunday morning, or you walk into your dinner group, or maybe it's in your personal time with God in the mornings. And you're sitting down, and God begins to work on you about something. And all of a sudden in your life, you hear God saying, listen, I want you to address this. You know that person that you have that conflict with? I want you to have that conversation. You need to go, and you need to talk to them. You're sitting here on a Sunday morning, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, I have a problem with my drinking. And I have got to eliminate it. And you feel convicted, and you know that God's bringing something to you. Or maybe you're here, and as we're walking through this together, and we're talking about purity, and we're talking about what it means to the relationships that we have with those around us, and for some of you are sitting here, you're saying, man, I have got to do something to eliminate this porn from my life. Or you come in here on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, as we're walking through this, God begins to work on you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the relationship you're in is a relationship that is destructive and not what God wants for you. You say, man, I've got to do something about that. But the problem is, that's where it ends. And we walk out of here and everything stays exactly the same. And in doing what I do, I have these conversations all the time because people will come to me and they'll talk to me about these things. And the strange thing is that you would think that once they realize what needs to happen, that something would happen, but it often doesn't. And so we'll sit there and we'll talk through it. Man, I got to get out of this relationship. I got to get out of this relationship. Well, what are you going to do? Nothing. And sometimes I'll sit there and I'll say, well, you realize that we're probably going to have this conversation again in a couple months. And what James was realizing is that people were walking into this community called the church, and they were beginning to feel certain ways. And the lie that we can begin to believe is that, okay, things are getting better because I felt convicted. And so we'll walk out of here on Sunday morning and be like, man, I experienced God today. And man, that message just struck right to the heart of, of where I am, and I realize I need to do some things about that. I need to change some things with what's going on in my life, and we will walk out those doors, and by Monday morning, it's exactly the way it was before. And James says, listen, I just want to make sure that you're not lying to yourself about what's actually happening. As he continues, he flushes this out a little bit further for us. In verse 23, it says, those who listen to the word but do not do what it says are like people who look at their faces in a mirror and after looking at themselves go away and immediately forget what they look like. He says, I want you to understand, when you do this, when you come into these groups and you hear God's word and you hear what God's saying, and even if you feel convicted about it and you leave and nothing happens, he says, you're just like somebody who comes to a mirror and looks at it, but then goes away and does nothing. Now, for me, this is a really clear illustration. Because when I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I realize something needs to happen. And I realized that for some of you, you're in college, and so nothing ever happens. It's just, that's the way it is, and hey, I'm rolling with it today. But for others of us, we realize, and the thing that's interesting is the older you get, the more you come to that mirror and realize more things need to happen. And James says, when you live your life this way, I want to give you a very clear picture of what it's like. It's like you're walking up to a mirror and you're seeing, and for me, my wife laughs at me every morning because my hair is just like every different direction. I don't know what it is. But he says, you're seeing what needs to happen. And you're walking away and thinking that everything is great because you looked in the mirror. He said, but nothing changes just by looking in the mirror. The point isn't that you look in the mirror. The point is that you do something about what you see in the mirror. The problem is that for a lot of us, we're better at doing something about what we see in the mirror than we are about doing something about what God is showing us in our lives. And so James says, listen, I don't want you to, you have to make sure that you're not lying to yourself and believing that because you're here, that things are okay. Because that doesn't change anything. And for some of you who aren't yet followers of Jesus Christ, I mean, this is a big part of why you probably weren't a part of the church at some point. And I meet people all the time who are like, you know, I don't want to be a part of church, because their experience of church is that they interacted with people who thought that they were better or who thought that they were better off because of the fact that they were at church. But nothing ever changed. And so they looked at their friend who went to church or was a part of a church, and they looked at them walking out of these services feeling convicted about something, but nothing ever changing. And they said, you're not better off than I am. And you know what? You're right. And that's what James is saying. He's saying, listen, don't lie to yourself. Showing up at a meeting is not going to lead you to what God has in store for you. Don't lie to yourself. Knowledge is not the point. Knowing what you're supposed to do does not make things any better. Looking in the mirror, there's no point in looking in the mirror if you're not going to do something about it. And then he continues. He says, but those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and I want to stop here because I think this is a crucial point in our understanding of why we often look in the mirror but don't do anything about it. Because for him, he's looking at this and he's saying, okay, listen, don't lie to yourself. This isn't about just hearing what God's word says. This is about doing something about it. He says, but those who look into this mirror intently, look into this law that brings freedom, this advice, this direction that God's giving us that brings freedom. Now for us, I believe the problem is that we have not yet come to the point where we actually believe that it brings freedom. And for many of us, we have not yet repented of the mindset that, you know what, my way is going to lead to destruction, but his way leads to freedom. And so in our lives, when we're looking at the decisions, we're still seeing God's way as a way of restriction as opposed to a way of freedom. And so when you're having that conversation, you're like, man, you've got to get out of this porn thing, man. What do you need to do? Well, I think I need to get rid of my computer, but man, that sounds so restricting. That sounds like slavery. I mean, I'm having to give up all these things. And in our minds, we haven't yet realized that no, slavery isn't that you have to give up your laptop. Slavery is that you keep having to look at these things that are destroying your life. And God's stepping into your life and saying, listen, you got to get out of this relationship. And we're still looking at it and saying, man, God is, it's controlling. And no, God's not trying to be controlling. He's trying to lead you to freedom where you're not going to be in a relationship that's going to destroy you. And so you're sitting here on Sunday morning and all of a sudden God begins to work in your heart and he says, you know what, you need to stop talking to that lady at work because you know it's going too far. And I think in our minds, we have not yet come to the point where we say, okay, wait a second, that's freedom. Stopping that relationship, not having those conversations, that's freedom. We still look at it as restricting. But the truth is, if you begin to put it into practice, it is freedom. And so for James, he says, no. When you begin to look at this and when you begin to realize that this is leading you to freedom, then everything begins to change. And so he says, but those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. This life that God wants for you is not the result of getting more and more knowledge. It's the result of taking what God is instructing you. It's the result of being a hearer and then doing it. Realizing, no, this isn't leading me into slavery. This isn't leading me into restriction. This is leading me to freedom. And then doing it. This is when you begin to do this, then you're going to begin to find the blessing that he has for you. Then you're going to begin to find the life that he's trying to lead you toward. But you have to stop lying to yourself about believing that it's about knowledge and information. No, application is everything. This is why when people ask me all the time of whether or not our dinner groups can be more focused on taking in more information. People ask me over and over again, hey, listen, can our dinner groups be more of a Bible study? And can we begin to work through books? And we push our dinner groups away from that. And there's a reason why we do that, because here's what I don't want to happen in your life. I don't want you to come in here on Sundays and take in information and hear what God's word says and then go into your private time with God where you're reading through. And if you're not reading through the Bible together with us this year, I encourage you to do that. But to walk into this and to take in more information there, and then to go into dinner group and take in more information. I don't want that, because you can't handle that if we're going to be doers and not just hearers. It's impossible. I'm not going to be able to take in all that and put it into application in that amount of time. And so in your life, I want to make sure that there's a group of people around you where it's not just about how can we get more information. It's about how do we take the information that we have and how God is leading and guiding us and actually do it. Because guess what? If that doesn't happen, then we've missed the whole point. We're lying to ourselves, we're deceiving ourselves, and it's not going to be better. And we're not any better off. I remember one of the very first dinner groups that was formed here at Hoboken Grace. And it was me and my brother-in-law and a couple of guys, and we're sitting around this table, and we'd been going for probably about 8 weeks or so. And we were talking about the things that we were struggling with, and we were talking about how God was interacting with us and where God was guiding us, and we were praying for each other in these things. And each week we'd have a time where we would share the things that we're working through and what we believe God wants us to do, and we'd pray for one another in that. We were probably about eight to 10 weeks in. And we were sitting there and we were sharing these prayer requests again. And I'll probably never forget this day. And my brother-in-law stood up and he said, "This is a joke." He said, "This is a complete joke. We get together every week and we share the exact same things. And nothing's changing. We're just wasting our time." What are you going to do about it? And he's calling us back to James chapter 1 and understanding that getting together and talking about it and coming in here and talking about it, that doesn't change things. Application is everything. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be walking through these key things that we see Jesus Christ and God communicating throughout the New Testament. Applications that you need in your life. And it's going to be really easy as we walk through this to walk in here and say, "Man, you know what? I should do something about that." And walk out and do nothing. I just want to make sure we're very clear from the beginning. That will not make you any better off than where you are right now. Don't deceive yourself over the next few weeks. The point isn't that you learn it. The point isn't that you feel guilty about it. The point isn't that you feel convicted about it. The point is that we do it. And as we walk through this, I want you to understand that what God is calling you to do, He does not expect you to do on your own. And that what He is calling you to do, because some of you are here and you're like, "Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I don't know if I'm..." You won't be able to do it on your own. You will not be able to do it on your own. But what God is calling you to do, He will do with you. He will do through you. You're not in this on your own. That's not who your Father is. This isn't about Him saying, "Man, you need to fix that." This is about Him saying, "Let's fix this." But don't deceive yourself. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock." We began this year talking about this passage in Psalms 1, where it gives us this incredible picture of what our lives could look like, that we could be like trees planted beside streams of living water whose leaf never withers, who bears fruit in every season. This idea of being someone who's solid, this idea of being someone who's secure, this idea of being someone who, no matter what the circumstances are, just thrives. And when I hear Jesus Christ say this in Matthew chapter 7, it brings me back to that idea. And I believe every single one of you wants to be someone who's solid. Someone who can walk through everything that life has to handle, but you are secure. And what Jesus Christ is saying, listen, that doesn't happen by learning more. That happens by taking what I've given you and doing it. Trusting me, following me. Because where he wants to lead you is to life abundant. Now, if that's going to happen for you over the next couple of weeks, there are a couple of things that need to happen in your life. Number one, you've got to begin to walk out of here and not just think, okay, it's enough that I feel bad about this, but you've got to begin to personally, as you're walking through these things, put action plans in place to say, okay, what am I going to do about what I heard today? How am I going to begin to practice this? What's going to change about the way I spend my time in order for me to be able to put this in place? What conversations do I need to have in order to be able to do what God has asked me to do? You have to begin to walk out of Sundays with a concrete action plan. You have to begin to walk through, as you're walking through your time with God in the mornings and God begins to talk to you about something, not just thinking, man, that's incredible that I felt this, but actually creating an action plan of how you're going to begin doing that. Number two, you have to be in community. I say this over and over and over again. You were never created to do this alone. And you will not be successful doing it alone. You just won't. And so if you're not plugged into a dinner group, get plugged into a dinner group. Begin building relationships with other people who can begin to work through this with you. But even inside this dinner group, there's a third thing that I want you to do for the next few weeks. Inside your dinner groups, I want you to identify one person that you're going to begin sharing your action plan with. One person in that group that you're gonna, when you come out of here on Sunday mornings, and you realize, you know what, I need to do something about this, that you have someone that you can email and say, this is what I need to do, this is what God is calling me to do, someone who can come back to you and say, okay, did anything actually happen? So that when we get to the end of this 6 weeks, we can look back and we will not just have been hearers of the word, but we will have been doers of the word. Last week was phenomenal, wasn't it? To be here, and if you weren't here, the baptism that took place last week was just, it was incredible. And it was one of the most beautiful pictures of what it means to be a doer and not just a hearer. Because as Megan was here, and we didn't even call people to come up to be baptized, but as she's here and God was working on her to say, you know what? You need to take this step. I'll bet you there are a lot of you here who God has been working on to say, you need to take this step. And you've walked out of here and you've said, you know what? I need to take that step. And you're just like the person who walks in front of that mirror and says, you know what, man, I should really do something about my hair. And then you walk to work. But Megan was different. And God begins to work on her to say, you know what? You need to do something. You need to take this step of baptism. And rather than just being a hearer, she decided to be a doer. And that makes all the difference. And for some of you, for a long time here at Hoboken Grace, and as our church gets bigger and bigger, it's going to be easier and easier and easier just to be a hearer because Because it's going to be easier and easier and easier for people to not really know who you are. And for some of you, you've been here for a while, and you've been hearing, and you've been hearing, and you've been hearing, but nothing's changing. And it's time to put an action plan in place. It's time for you to begin, for you to stop saying, I'm going to eventually. And for you to say, I'm going to now. You don't have to walk through it alone. But don't lie to yourself. Application is everything. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, it's something that we all need to hear. It really doesn't matter where we are. We need to be reminded of this over and over and over again, because it's so easy to fall into the trap of just showing up and believing that we're better off because we've shown up. And Father, the truth is, it's not in hearing your word, it's in doing what you've told us that we begin to find this life that you want for us, that you're leading us into. And so as we walk into the next few weeks, I know that you're going to be working in the lives of the people who are here, and you're going to be challenging us to take steps that sometimes are going to seem like they're restricting. Steps that sometimes are going to call for great amounts of sacrifice. I pray that you'd continue to work on our minds, continue transforming our minds, that we would see the world the way that you see it, that we would realize that these are steps to freedom, that you are a God who loves his children, and that we would begin to do, that we would begin to move into one another's lives and call one another to action. And that we would find out what it means to have that foundation of a rock. In Jesus' name, amen.